which is the ninth commandment. The ninth commandment is, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor.
Question 76 of the Schroeder Catechism brings us to the ninth commandment. And we have in this question the words of Scripture themselves, the words that God has given to us with regards to this commandment. In each commandment, I've tried to highlight a moral principle, kind of a hook, if you will, for you to hang your concept of the commandment on. Here we see in the ninth commandment the preservation of truth. The preservation of truth, forbidding being false witnesses. Now, why is this so important to the Lord? Well, the answer is not complicated. First of all, because truth itself is related to God. The Bible says that God is truth. God himself is truth. So Christ can say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. This is sometimes referred to, we're talking about the divine attributes, God's veracity. God's veracity. God himself embodies truth. So our concept of truth, you know, what is right, what is true, what is false, and so on and so forth. We can be thinking about little things. Is it true that the moon is made of cheese? True or false? The moon is made of cheese. Well, we can entertain these sorts of questions. That's a silly one. We can also ask a lot more sober questions about what is true and false as well. But all of that needs to be traced back to the character of God himself. So it's not just that God always speaks the truth. He certainly and absolutely does. It's not only that God loves what is true. He certainly and absolutely does. But the Bible tells us he is truth. So just as the Bible says he is good, he is holy, he is just, right? He is truth. And so truth is something that needs to be prized by the Christian. It's something very valuable, very precious, something holy, something incredibly important for us because it relates to God himself. It also relates to his word, right? Scripture is truth. In John 17, verse 17, thy word is truth, right? He says, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. So we see this in lots and lots of places, the Bible being referred to as the truth of God. Because truth is who God is, truth is also what God says, what God reveals. And so our understanding of the Bible as a book that has divine authority is rooted in the fact that it is divinely inspired. We saw this all the way back at the beginning of the Catechism. What the Bible says, God says. It is the voice of God. It is the revelation that God has given to us. And so Scripture ends up being the standard for how we judge truth. This ends up being our standard, our ruler, if you will, our measuring stick for truth. People come up with all sorts of convoluted ideas. You know, they'll say all sorts of silly things about what's real and what's not real. They'll say horribly wicked things about what marriage is between a man and a woman joined together by law, by vows, lawful vows, entering into a covenant relationship with one another. And they'll tinker with that and they'll say, well, you can have two men that get married and other things. This is wickedness. I mean, this is not true. We can ask the question, is it true that it's two men can be married? Well, what does the Bible say? And so for the Christian, we're being driven back all day long, all life long, to that question. What does the Bible say? The Bible is our standard for truth. It's what helps us to determine what is true and what's false. And so spiritual discernment is a mark of spiritual maturity. In Hebrews chapter 5, at the end of that chapter, it talks about the immature who drink milk. And it says those who are mature, those who can eat strong meat, are those who have their senses being exercised and developed in order that they might be able to discern between good and evil. And so they're saturated in God's truth, His Word, and they're using all of the faculties of their souls in their understanding of that Word, the Bible, enabling them to exercise discernment. When people say things, when people advance ideas, when people do things, make claims, we're able to bring it against the touchstone of God's Word. So this is why it's so important. You know, you can ask the question, we only have 10 commandments, right? There's only 10. Why is it that the Lord devotes one whole commandment out of 10 to the preservation of truth? This is why. Because it is related to the character of God. Remember, the 10 commandments are an exposition of God's own character. The law is holy because God is holy. It's revealing to us things about who the Lord is. Now, when we speak of truth, we're often talking about propositions. What is a proposition, children? Propositions. Well, a proposition is basically an indicative statement. I'm going to be a little simplistic here, or try to make it simple anyway. In grammar, we have different labels, right? You have an indicative statement. You have interrogative statements. You have imperatives. And maybe this will help shed some light. Imperatives are a command. Go clean your room. That's a command. An interrogative is a question. Have you cleaned your room, Johnny? An indicative statement is merely a statement of fact. That's a period, right? Johnny cleaned his room. So a proposition is an indicative statement to keep it simple. Johnny cleaned his room. Now we can ask the question, is that proposition true or false? Is it true that Johnny cleaned his room or not? Well, we can discover whether reality corresponds to that proposition. We can go investigate and find out, research, look into the matter to discover, to confirm whether or not this proposition corresponds to what is in fact true. Now, the Bible says that Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead. That corresponds to reality. That's in fact what happened. It's a true proposition, a true statement. And this brings us to the relationship of God's law to logic, right? Logic provides us with the rules for correct reasoning, for thinking straight, for being cogent in our thoughts, and so on. And there are rules given to us in the study of logic that relate to how propositions relate to one another and how they correspond to the truth. It helps us to sort these things out. And there are some basic ones that may be helpful, kind of three foundational principles underlying the whole rest of the study of logic. And what I'm trying to show you here is logic is not something arbitrary. It's not just like, well, we think this is a good idea. Let's all agree to try to think within the parameters of these rules. It's not a convention that a society can say, well, we're going to follow logic, and other societies say, no, we're not going to follow logic. What I want to show you is that's not the case, that actually logic is rooted, the rules of logic are, basic rules of logic are rooted actually in God's law, and specifically they're rooted in the Eighth Commandment, among other things. So there are these, there are three kind of fundamentals that may be helpful for you, and if you go on to study logic, you'll learn a whole lot more about how the whole system is built on these. We have the law of identity, and that's saying X is X, or you can also just do it this way, X, to use a mathematical symbol, X equals X. So if I say that, today is Friday, so President Obama is still president as of this minute. If I say that Barack Obama is president of the United States, I can also say the same thing in a different way, but that statement, that proposition is always true to itself. Now, that seems very abstract to you. There's actually very practical implications for what seems obvious. You know, Pastor McCurley serves as a minister in Greenville, South Carolina. Well, of course, if that's true, then Pastor McCurley does serve as a minister in Greenville, South Carolina. But that's just a fundamental that's there. The second one that many of you will have heard of is the law of non-contradiction. Now, here you can begin to see even more clearly how the Eighth Commandment is related to this. X represents a proposition. X is not and cannot be non-X, not X. All right? Or we could write it this way. X cannot equal not X. So this is the law of non-contradiction. X cannot, it's not possible for X to be true, and at the same time, in the same way, for X not to be true. So to use the example I used before, it's impossible to say that Barack Obama is president of the United States and to say at the same time and in the same way, using the words in the identical way, Barack Obama is not the president of the United States. That both of those cannot be true, right? It's the law of non-contradiction. They can't contradict. The third one is the law of excluded middle. The law of excluded middle. And that is something is either true or, and here's the operative word, or false. So X is either true or false. It can't be both. It has to be either true or false. Now, all of these, as you can see, almost seem obvious to you. Like, why do we even have labels for something so blatantly obvious? I mean, this is almost obnoxious. Why do you have to actually give labels to these sorts of things? Well, these concepts end up forming a basic foundation upon which a whole mass of material is built, both in formal logic and in material logic or informal logic. They're built on these basic principles. And what I'm hoping that you'll see here is that logic is important because logic is important for the Christian because it is tied to morality. It is tied to how God has taught us to think. We are obligated to preserve the truth, and all of that is tied to God Himself. And so God, we are made in the image of God, and therefore we are rational, moral creatures, among other things, and we're to be reflecting, imaging who God is himself. God is the source of rationality, he is truth, and his word is the standard of rationality. And so to be a Christian means that we have to, if we're going to think and speak lawfully in a way that glorifies God, in a way that is pleasing to him, then we need to be in earnest to ensure that that truth is being kept, is being preserved, carefully expressed and articulated. Words mean something. Words have weight. We don't just throw words around like they're nothing, right? Words have weight to them, and they have to be employed in stewardship under God in a way that corresponds to the truth, and therefore in a way that will honor the Lord. So question 76, which is the ninth commandment? The ninth commandment is, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor.